Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the Hybrid Fitness Media Program. It's your Thursday episode. We had a bumpy start this year, but guess what? We are doing it now. We're doing it. Two a week. You get the Monday live show on YouTube. It appears Tuesday in your ears right here. And then Thursday is the interview show. And we've got a couple of great guests, Allison Scuds, Tara Jackson from Doha. I'm enjoying some tea. It's a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Actually, it's rainy as F here, but it's still a beautiful day. Grateful to be alive, eating super clean. This is the second week in a row of staying away from the rice and staying away from the sugar, and it's really helping. I feel better, and I'm losing the weight. So check the scale every Monday, so we won't know where I'm at till next Monday, but feeling good. And maybe it's not that big of a difference, but I swear I can already tell in the waist and the way things fit. But I feel good for treating myself and loving myself and eating good, eating super clean, especially because I haven't been out exercising. If you heard me complain about what the fuck happened to me, I still don't know what happened to me. I had a similar feeling in the chest a couple days later, and so I just put some heat to it and haven't done it since, but I've been kind of afraid to work out. So I'll be working out again soon. But I thought I'd do a little something different this episode, just in the mood to do it. Why not? You know, many times you finish a series, you finish something, and you're like, come on, tell me what to watch next. There's too many choices. I've seen it all. So I thought I would drop a couple of recommendations. Maybe I'll do this once in a while. Maybe this will be the only time I ever do it. But hey, if you like me, you like my sentiments, my sensibilities, maybe you'll agree with me, and this will give you a shot. So first one up, Baby Reindeer, brand new thing out on Netflix. Some pretty intense stuff happens, not in the terms of like blood and guts, but more in the terms of intensity. I think they put the warnings before the episodes that are the most intense. But I gotta say, those two did a great job. The two leads, I enjoyed it. We binged it in a couple days. Go check out Baby Reindeer. The other thing is the roast of Tom Brady. Now, I actually, on my personal page, said I'm not fucking watching this. Enough fucking Kevin Hart in the world. And this is going to be lame, AF. But it's not. It's really funny. I was laughing so hard last night that I had to turn it off because my wife couldn't sleep because I was laughing and my eyes are watering. And like usually when she goes to bed, I'm going to stay up for another 45 to an hour watching whatever. And you just put the volume really low and you watch it with the words on. Can't have the words on comedy because it spoils all the timing. Doesn't work. So I had it really loud. And she was like, could you please turn that off? She actually didn't say it. She just rolled over and looked at me like, dude, come on. Now, this next one, I'm two decades past Deadwood. Never seen it. It was one of those shows I never saw. I'm sure you have those out there that people are like, you've never seen blah, blah, blah. Now, it is not one of the greatest shows of all time. It is not. Here's my quick pantheon. Sopranos, Wire, Mad Men, Breaking Bad, / Better Call Saul. I'm going to put those kind of together. I haven't been able to go back enough times on Better Call Saul yet. So it's not all-timer, but I will say that the character of Swearingen, a.k.a. Swedgen, a.k.a. Ian McShane, is definitely one of the greatest characters in TV history. So the show isn't, but he is. Hope that makes sense. First episode, I was like, this is not looking very good. And then I hung in there. And it's one of those shows that develops over time. And much like Breaking Bad, like not every episode had a big crazy shootout, right? Or somebody getting run over, right? But sometimes it did. And you were like, holy shit. So this has some of those, and also just one of those things where you kind of start to fall in love with different side characters. And again, I know I'm two decades too late, but I just got to see it. So I finished the series. It's only three seasons, and I just started the movie. Not done with the movie yet. No spoilers. So that's it. That's my TV update. So if you've never given Deadwood a shot, give it a shot. Do try The Roast. I'm not even more than like 30 minutes into it. I think the show's 5 hours or 3 hours or something crazy. And Baby Reindeer, those are my television picks for you. Oh, Nurse Jackie, too. Quick side note. There's a few shows that, like, for some reason, maybe it was just the time, but, like, they don't get mentioned as quickly. Nurse Jackie is up there. Nobody ever talks about it. I bet they're coming. I bet the Nurse Jackie video series and podcasts and retrospectives are coming because it's a fucking banger! You want to talk to me about any of those things, drop me a note, Matt B. Davis at iCloud.com. I'm also easy reachable through Instagram at Hybrid Fitness Media. You can follow my personal life, I guess, at Matt B. Davis, but I don't post nearly as much there on Instagram. I do stories. I don't do a lot of feed. If you check the feed, there's months between things, but things I find randomly funny, I'll put on stories usually on the personal stuff. On today's program, CrossFitter Allison Scuds and DecaFit world champion Tara Jackson. Deca Mile world champion Tara Jackson. She corrected me. Deca Mile. I posted, as you saw, that there is a duel in Doha going down. I was reminded by my pals in Hybrid Fitness that they have a women's only event on the Friday, which is pretty cool because there are some very sensitive people in the Middle East still to separating the sexes. Spartan and Mudder, I think, have both done that on different occasions. They've had a women's only day, either on the day before or the day after the main event. So they're doing that in Doha. But that's not what Tara's there for. Tara's there to get that paper. More money. I think first place for majors was $6K. This HYROX Middle East, which is not HYROX HQ, not Mo and Christian and Mintra. This is like a franchisee. They put up their own money. $7K, $5K, $3K going to the top three men and women. So you've got Norman, Michaela, and Meg battling it out. They are the two best there. And then Tara's also there. Jess Towel. Wait, you're not supposed to call her Towel. What are we supposed to call you, Jess? Somebody said don't call her Towel. Toll. 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 Jessica, how do you say your name? Sorry. She's won there before. So anyway, we're going to talk to her, Tara Jackson, that is, and catch up a little bit. That was kind of a last minute yesterday. Like, hey, what are you doing? Let's talk. And then someone I wanted to talk to for a bit is Allison Scuds, because as you'll learn, I met her almost 10 years ago at a little thing called the Battle Frog College Championship. Now, I'll be updating our Instagram and or YouTube shortly with what the hell this was. It was a little mini course, little speed course that they did, and Corinna did it, and a couple other OCR athletes that you know did it, because the second season they went with the pros, quote unquote. So Ryan and Lindsay and all those guys were there. But the college one was where it was born, and it was pretty exciting and pretty cool. And that's where I met Allison way back in 2015. So I'd wanted to have her on as I watched her CrossFit career over the last few years, and I got in touch with her thanks to her very kind, I was going to say her team, but it was actually Pedro from Coffee Pods and Wads that made the intro, because he had just had her on her show, and I said, hey, could you make an intro? And he did, and she was happy to talk to me. So enough of me. Let's get to it. If you're new to the show, how we do it is two interviews back to back. We don't then come back and say, here's so-and-so. So I'm saying, here's so-and-so now. Why am I telling you this? I don't know. Enjoy the show. Do you remember the song Sarah?
No.
It went like this. By Starship?
No. I think I'm too young for this song.
It was like, Sarah. Singing that in my head as you were coming on, but with Tara.
Oh, you could make that the intro.
Tara, Tara, but it's not Tara. It's Tara.
Tara.
Right. Yeah. It's not Tara.
Where's the Southern twang?
Right. It's like, you know what I'm saying? There's a difference. A lot of Taras are Taras, T-A-R-A. You're not, you're Tara.
Yeah.
It was like, it's like me trying to explain the difference between Nicole Miracle and Nicole Miracle.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
Right, but it's slight difference. So listen, you're on the line with me. It's 7:28 where you are. Am I correct?
Yeah, that sounds right. We're seven hours ahead, I think. Right?
Yes, you're 7 hours ahead in the beautiful city of Doha.
I haven't got to see much of the city yet, but I'm imagining it's pretty. Not where I'm staying though.
What
I'm not by the water?
What is the temperature right now?
It is so hot. I walked to go get dinner earlier. It was 97 degrees outside. Oppressive.
So tell me when you decided to do this race. When did you hear about the big dollars headed out there in the Middle East?
So I saw it, but at that point I was still nursing this injury, and I didn't think that I was going to be able to race High Rocks. So I had committed to Thieves and Beggars with Alondra. And like a few weeks later, my knee was like progressing a lot and I was able to do lunges and stuff. And I was like, huh, well, I guess maybe I can run a High Rock. So I saw that Doha was doing like prize money and I strategically was like, well, I don't think a lot of people are going to come race like weeks out from world championships. So I was like, well, why not fly 21 hours across the globe to run in circles for an hour?
I mean, it's kind of the thing to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's been a few big payouts. Lauren's been there at least once. Michaela's been there once. I don't think Meg's gone yet.
No, I don't think so. Because like having a brain moment right now. The girl who won the last one, she's like...
Jess?
Yeah, no. Darn. I don't know why I'm like totally blanking. Jess Tal got second.
Oh, what's her name got first? Skillen.
Yeah, Jade. Yeah.
Right. But way closer for England though, right?
Oh,
isn't it?
Like, I feel like for Europe, maybe only like 6 hours. I don't know. I would imagine Europe's like halfway.
Yeah, that's like easy breezy.
Yeah, it's a little popover. But yeah, I had the flight from Newark all the way to Dubai, which was like 14 hours, which is a lot better. I came over here for Spartan World Championships when it was in Abu Dhabi. And I feel like I remember the flight back being a lot worse. So hopefully that's not the case. But the flight over here wasn't too bad.
All right. So September of 23, they did an event there. And let's see here. The pros was Kent won that. And on the women's side, Lauren beat Michaela and then Jess was third. And then they were in Dubai February of this year. And it was, hang on, looks like a local guy won it. And then on the women's side, that was Jade, Jess, and Emily, all Brits. And then this is the first one in Doha. So yeah, this will be the third event in over there, yeah?
Yeah, and I think they've all had money. So I don't know if like middle or whatever the country's like funding the prize pot. Because I don't think it's High Rocks.
No, it's definitely their own thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good way to like incentivize people who are kind of pretty good in the sport to like come over and travel and post about it. And I mean, High Rocks has seen so many like big names recently. I feel like spreading the word. Like, I know you've probably seen Lance Armstrong.
Of course.
And then there's that girl. She's running Last Chance Qualifier. I'm like really bad with names today. Usually I'm pretty good. But she's a CrossFit girl that got she didn't get disqualified, but she got the time penalty.
Sydney Wells,
yeah. So, yeah, I know you just had a podcast with her.
Well, I was supposed to talk to her Monday, but she had a thing, so we're going to talk next Monday.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, it should shape up to be like a pretty good race in Anaheim. But that other girl that didn't win, or that won Houston's not going.
She's not going. She said no.
I'm really stuck with names, but Christy.
It's okay. Christy, yes, Christy. So typically you've done better in DECA. You are a world champion, as I watched you cross the finish line last year. Do you have, we're about halfway through the year. What are you thinking after this race?
Well, I haven't raced the solo High Rock since November, in Chicago, which I actually had a decent race. So, oh no, I did race individual in LA where I had like the worst race ever.
What happened?
Well, I think I was in like really bad shape with my knee. Like I had a meniscus issue and, I basically couldn't bend my knee. My ball balls were probably crap, but I was so far back that nobody even noticed. My knee at all past 90. Like I had a lot of swelling and like movement restriction in that knee. So it was just really bad. And then I was on the burpee broad jumps and it just gave out on me. So then I fell on the ground. There's actually a video of it. So I don't know. It was just a really bad race. I got a hard sled and it was bad from like start to finish. So, I'm hoping to do better than that race. Otherwise it might be High Rocks retirement time for me. And just focus on DECA because I don't love the training for it. Like I feel like it's so much more intensive than training for DECA. Like the strength is really tough for me, and between the sleds and the lunges and wall balls, like I lose so much time that it's hard to be competitive. So I've put in a good strength block. I feel pretty fit now. So I'm going to see if I can keep up, if I still feel like I can be competitive. Because I don't want to split my time between races. If I feel like I'm only going to be kind of mediocre in one, but could be really good at the other, I'd rather just focus on what I could be good at and like really go all in on that. So I think that's where I'm at right now. We'll see how I do in High Rocks and if I want to keep splitting my time like High Rocks more in the spring and then DECA more in the fall.
Have you put down already a DECA trifecta, the DECA trifecta this season?
I have not raced a single DECA yet. It's just, again, with the injury, I was supposed to race Knoxville, but I couldn't do the stepovers or lunges, so I bailed out of that last minute. I did do a relay with Marissa where we set the, I don't know, the mile teams record, but I made her do all the stuff I couldn't do. But obviously, she's, like, super good at
Marissa Knoxville. Pope?
Yeah. So, luckily, I was still able to run. Like, running, as long as I was warmed up, didn't seem to be so bad, but I guess my knee just didn't have to bend that much, so it was fine.
So when do you plan on putting these other times down to qualify for Worlds, for DECA Worlds?
Well, it's tough because we had like three events in North Carolina and they all got canceled. So I might have to drive down to Charleston.
What got canceled?
So there was one at Breakaway. I don't know. There was like three events. There was a mile, or maybe there was 2 miles and a strong, but they all got canceled because I know one of the places said that they didn't have enough registrations and they were going to try to rent out a place. And like, they had to get all the equipment from different gyms cause it wasn't a road show and it was just turning into like a big thing. So if you're an affiliate, but you don't have all the equipment, I guess it's hard to like put them on. So I don't.
Yeah. But I feel like you wouldn't do that. I mean, I don't know who you're talking about, but to me, it makes sense that you would go, okay, I either own all the equipment already, right? Cause I'm an affiliate, or I've already secured it. Like, we don't have whatever. We want to have 5 extra, you know, dead balls to make sure we have enough. I'll make sure I can get those. And then cool. Then I'll put the event on for registration. So anyway, that just seems wacky. It's not like an obstacle race or a big something. It seems a DECA Strong should not get canceled, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, with the affiliate. So this is kind of just like what they told me, because I knew it was on the site and I asked them why they weren't hosting it anymore. And they said that they were going to have to get equipment as far away as Charlotte. So I'm assuming like the tanks maybe are an issue.
Right.
Again, I
guess that would be but again, I think like, don't put that out there because listen, so there's one at this gym that's like 45 miles from me, maybe a little bit less. They were putting on strongs and miles. And I did one in January. I did another one last weekend. And they're like, oh, this is our last one. Because the guy who owns the gym, it was never even his deal. Like, he got the affiliate, but like, he had this young kid who was really excited about it. And so he was like, let's put these on. So that kid's going on, like, he's moving basically. And so they're like, yeah, we're done. We're not really making any money with these. So, or not making money, but we're not getting new customers. And I know that's one of the appeals, is that you would get people to come to the event and then hopefully bring new customers in. But I feel like even if it doesn't bring new customers in, you're getting the stuff, the medals and the things sent to you. So if you have the equipment, it seems like you're going to make at least a little money on a Saturday or a Sunday, right?
Yeah, I think at least with the gym that I know was going to have it, I think they hosted a couple road shows and maybe they thought like it was going to be easy to do.
Oh, because Nelson shows up with the truck with all the stuff.
Yeah. So that they originally had those, but I think then that made them turn into affiliate. So then they would have to purchase all the equipment. I don't know if that was their first like official, like affiliate, like kind of thing separate from the road show. Cause yeah, when Nelson comes, he like helps with setup. Like he gets everything like orchestrated. Like I think it has to be a lot easier for the gyms. Basically they're just letting them use their space.
But right. Maybe that's what they should do in Atlanta then is do one of that. Cause we're a major city, right? Atlanta, huge city. And there's only a couple spots. There's this one in town gym, and I live in town, that I would go to that's even close. And these other ones are always way up in these suburbs. And now that gym's going away, I don't know how many there's going to be this year.
Yeah. I don't know how the affiliate program works, but I feel like they have a lot up in Raleigh, which is kind of close to me. But even those events seem to be a little bit more scarce. I think there was a lot more opportunities to race last year. So I don't know how much the affiliate program is growing or how many road shows that they're doing now. So I definitely would like to hop in on at least two before Worlds. But usually they haven't released a lot of the fall ones. There's nothing on the schedule that's like after maybe like June or July.
Yeah, let's pull it up. Hang on a second. Because there's that guy, Gazokli, who puts together this Spartan pass of like every event you can do.
Oh, I heard, like, so does that pass include the Strong and the Mile events?
No, but he still has a DECA. Let me just do a screen share here. He still has a DECA thing. Okay. Like it's called the Unbreakable Pass Explorer. So this is what I do. I go to Google Docs and then here's all the DECAs, right? So do a quick sort. Are you good at the Excel?
No. I could barely figure out how to turn my phone, Matt. Are you insinuating that I would be good at any kind of technology?
Well, I know you're from the country, Tara. I know, you know, you shop down at the Winn-Dixie, but I thought maybe
the Piggly Wiggly
down there. But I don't know. Some people will surprise you. You know what I mean?
Well, not me. I'm not surprising you with my abilities of internet things.
Internet things.
But I'm hoping that I feel like the reason you want to get a couple shots at the Strong and the Mile, though, is because some of the setups are really bad. And as times get faster, like a few in the mile, I think that there could be like a difference of 1 to 2 minutes, depending on how the setup is. So I ran a race last year at one of the races that they're actually not putting it on in Wilmington. And they had us run through grass in a zigzag pattern. It was like,
oh, I'm well aware. I saw that one. I'm well aware. Yeah. It was
wild. Like, so.
All right. So here we go. These are all 2023. What year are we in?
Jesus, 24.
24. All right. So just bear with me while I do this.
That is a lot of events.
I know. I want to delete all these fucking 2023 events. So it looks like there was 663 events. Shit. That's a lot of events, dude. Strongs and Miles.
See, I feel like this is the way to go. I don't understand why Hyrox doesn't go this route. Like, I think DECA has to make a lot of money doing it this way.
But see, you just said it. Like, I'm not sure they do.
No, I'm not sure the affiliates make money. I think Spartan makes money.
No, but I'm saying I don't think they do either. I'm saying that if you look at, they're going to make X amount, right? On a $1,000 for the year or whatever it is. And then they have to mail out all the medals and the shirts, right? And then if people aren't re-upping, then they're not getting any more $1,000, right? And they're not getting any more of the, you see what I'm saying?
They're not just making $1,000, though. They also get money from each event.
Right. But if there's 50 people at each event, I mean, I don't want to get too crazy into the math, but that's the average, I think, is 50 people. And the events only cost $40 and they get 25% of that. It's not a lot of money. It's not a lot. It definitely like is a good way to get the brand out there. But to me, I feel like we should see more people showing up to the events based on that, showing up to the fits, and it looks like we're not. That's the part that's a little disappointing. Because like the three events we've done this year are about the same numbers as the last year, whereas Hyrox like doubles every year.
Yeah.
But hang on, let's exit. Let me go back to this real quick. Hang on, I just want to see.
Maybe it wasn't. I thought one of the DECA events, they said there was a lot more people, but maybe not.
All right. In May, well, I wish I could sort this by state. Would actually help a lot better. Cause a lot of these, you can see like are the same gyms, which is good, right? These ones that are really like super loyal, like Underdog Fitness and Warrior Hit. So there's definitely events up through September. Indianapolis is a couple weeks after Florida. But yeah, I guess a lot of people are going to wait until Once they hit months July and August, they're going to wait to schedule more because that's when you stop qualifying for the world champs, right?
Wait, what do you mean? That's
like you can't qualify the week before world champs. They stop it, so then they could do the roll downs.
I think it's like November, first. It's usually right around the last deca, whenever Florida is.
Right. So
last deca next weekend they allowed strong and mile.
Right. So I'm saying they're not gonna. Nobody's scheduling any yet past that is what that looks like based on the map I just looked at. See what I'm saying?
Well, I feel like they should allow you to use your time from world championships. No, they don't. But if they allow you to use races before world championships, why wouldn't they let you use world championships as a qualifier?
You mean if it starts the next year, if it starts as soon as if you have an October date, let's say, right, then yeah, they should include that. That's a good point.
Yeah. So they include the race before world championships, in October I think the last race was in September last year. But yeah, the races in October count for the following year. But like the race at world championships.
Well, you need to ask Yancey. You need to ask your buddy Yancey. That's a great point.
Then I don't have to race at all. I just use my
just roll up. So you were first in the fit. How did you do in the other two last year?
No, last year I was second in the fit. I won the mile.
Won the mile.
And got fifth in the strong.
And then what about teams?
I didn't do any teams. I was supposed to do it with Luke Hayes, but he was sick.
Do you currently own any DECA records?
Nope. Female mile, I guess. Teams mile.
Okay.
No solo ones. They were all stolen from me.
You had them, man. You fucking had them.
I know. The weekend that me and... No, that was a different weekend. The weekend that me and Luke broke the mixed record, Vivian broke my record, set the mile record the same weekend. She only let me hold it for 3 weeks. And I think she has the record now.
You are currently ranked 12th in the hybrid fitness rankings. Is that accurate?
I mean, sure.
I mean, would you put your, I'm just curious. I mean, listen, this is, a thing that we're doing. We got six dudes that vote on it and we're trying to get more people, but right now it's six and that's where they put you. What do you think?
I mean, I feel like I'm in the mix. Yeah. In top 20. I wouldn't put me above 10. I definitely would be below 10, I think.
Okay. All right.
Because my performance in high rocks, since you include all of it.
Right.
But yeah, I think there's definitely, actually, I don't know how many people have the Hifecta. How many people have? I feel like there has to be more now.
Man, yeah, you used to be in pretty rare air with that.
I know, I'd be really cool and have it, but now I feel like there's probably.
It's still not a ton, though. It's not like there's not 10. I don't think there's double digits women.
Yeah, but then you're not. But you're also not counting all the people in Europe that really just don't get a chance to race DECA.
Well, if they can get on a fucking plane and fly to Germany and Australia and fucking Doha, they can roll over to Spain and get a high factor. They have six. They do six events, but they're all three. They're all like we did world champs. They do fit, strong, and mile Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or all 2 days, whatever they do. They do it at each event, which I think is a cool way to do it.
I wish they did that here. I know they did that at one event in Jacksonville 2 years ago. But I think Yancey said he didn't want to do that because he didn't want to take away from the affiliates. He wanted to make the mile and the strong more of just a gym thing. And then you only would qualify at the
gym.
I think you can do both.
I don't think I think it would be cool.
Six fits a year. So, I mean, it's not like you're adding 100 different races.
Right, exactly. That's why I think they could do it. I mean, but considering how short they are on staff, it's they can barely get what we can get it done. You know what I mean?
It's true. But I don't know. They had the volunteer program at Worlds. I don't know how I feel about that, but not a huge fan of the way they tried to structure it. But
what did they do wrong?
Well, I just feel like if you're paying all this money to race world championships, you should be able to focus on your race. You shouldn't be required to volunteer as part of your entry. I mean, most people paid $200 per race. So you're paying $200 and you're required to volunteer.
I don't think people did it, though.
You don't think people volunteered at world championships? No.
Did you see any elite athletes volunteering?
Oh,
other than Chris?
I don't know. I think Kevin volunteered.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, even from elite to age group, I mean, age group people work really hard, too, and they train specifically for
this. No, you're right. I'm just saying, I'm trying to think in my head, like, looking around who I saw on course, and that's just, like, what jumped out at me. Like, I didn't see Kent. I didn't see you. I didn't see Meg. Not Meg. I didn't see anyway, just thinking out loud. Yes, Kevin is amazing, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think most of the elites volunteered, but...
But they were supposed to. That was what Yancey said. Yancey was like, hey, like, let's all build the barn together. You guys volunteer after you run. But I don't think anybody did.
Well, I think part of that, we raced like 3 days too. So like once you finish, get off your feet. And even if you're not elite, like I said, people like spend
you're right.
thousands of dollars to come to this race. And then they're required to like, I have a client that she raced all three, but she did her volunteering and stuff. And I was like, no, go get off your feet. Like, yeah. I mean, she's 68. Like, she also probably needs to sit down too.
How dare you? How dare you, Tara?
Ruining the volunteer system. But I don't know. I just know people work really hard, whether you're elite or age group. And I think you should be able to like focus on your race and not have to worry about volunteering.
I think you're right. I think that's, I mean, I see both sides, right? Like, Yancey's like, hey, we all got to do this and blah, blah, blah. But it's like also, yeah, you're a pro race. You're a pro sport. We're paying. That's just the race. You got to travel there. You got to stay somewhere. You got to probably rent a car. You got to eat. People always forget the food part. Like, oh, a ticket's only this much and a flight's only this much. And it's like, or a plane's only this much and hotel. If I split it, it's like, dude, you got to eat, man.
Eat. And then sometimes, I mean, since a 3-day event, you probably miss work. Like, it's a whole ordeal.
Oh, yeah. Plus you missed work.
Yeah. So it's a big commitment. So I think that you should be able to like focus on what you came to do and not have to worry about doing other.
All right. Here's
what happened.
Yeah. I know you said that everybody's working just as hard, but what if just for like marketing purposes, if a sponsor, if a power lift or somebody was like, hey, we talked to DECA/Spartan and we want to help. So we will pay for your travel if you volunteer. I guess that could be open to age group people too, but like they pick like 10 athletes or 20 athletes. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, just trying to think of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think
we'll contribute $20,000 worth of travel dollars. And if you take that money, you then have to volunteer at least.
Can't you just pay volunteers or pay people then? Like,
well, that's absolutely what they should do. But I know fucking Spartans broke or not going to spend the money. So I'm trying to think of somebody else that would spend the money. Like Prime. Yeah.
Or lift pay for it. I got what you're saying.
Like, yeah.
You know, Spartan can pay for people to fly. They can't pay for people to volunteer.
No, but Joe was offering people flights to the Middle East in exchange for money they were already owed for Alula.
Have a big prize purse for that sprint thing that they're doing in Croatia or somewhere.
Right.
So, like, why keep offering more money if they're not going to pay out the rest that they already owe people?
Well, I hear you there, because remember how they found money? They found money to give away for the series for Big Bear in Utah. What's that?
Wish I could find some money.
But the difference with Croatia is it's Spartan Europe, so it's a little bit different. Alula was completely separate. Like, that was Tough Mudder Saudi Arabia. That was their own budget. They made all that happen without Joe, without U.S. Spartan. This Europe one is a little bit more connected to U.S., but it's still supposedly not, let's just call it Joe's bank account, and that's why they're able to offer money. And we'll hopefully pay it quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I will say one thing about Hyrox. They get you paid 30 days.
Well, that's what it should be.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess if I did this for the money, I'd be pretty broke. So I'm not... I mean, I would like to get paid, but also have work, so... can supplement my expensive hobby.
Do they know that you have an expensive hobby that you're really good at? Do the folks at your job?
Yeah. I mean, I think they know. My clients, I think even if I was, you know how people do this sport, they think you're really like, they think I'm a really good marathoner when I ran my marathon. And I'm like, no, like there's like way more people faster than me. So I don't think that people who don't race like grasp like how fast is. So I could tell them I ran a 4-hour marathon, they'd be like, oh, that's great. Or I could tell them I ran a 2:30 marathon and be like, that's great. Like they would have they wouldn't know that there's like much of a difference or how long something like that takes. So they're mostly older people, like probably over 70 that I train.
So y'all go and eat at the Waffle House sometimes together?
The K&W.
K&W? What is that?
Oh, it's like, maybe they just have them in North Carolina. It's like where the old people go eat their service style food, like a cafeteria. That's what it is.
Got it. Like a Morrison's?
Maybe. I've never heard of Morrison's. I don't know. They go up. It's like you're back in school again, and they like serve you stuff from right behind. That's where all the old people like to go, like 4 o'clock to eat dinner.
Ooh, mid-roll ad break. You almost never get one of these. But hey, I'm in a good mood. Why not? Time to thank the folks that help keep this machine running called Hybrid Fitness Media. Real talk, folks. It's me out here. It's me out here cranking away. Got some help. Got some writers. Got some people that help with social. But you are looking at someone who really cares about bringing you this stuff. And that's why I record these shows. And that's why I make all these videos. Because I love hybrid fitness just like you do. And you can support me by supporting our sponsors and also doing the cup of coffee thing. We do a cup of coffee link. You click that. Give $5. Give $5 a month. Give it once. Give $10. Give $10 a month. You can do that. Another way is to contribute to our sponsors. Go to Resolute Coffee, buy some stuff, and use our code. Go sign up for Rocky Mountain Games and say you heard of it through me. Or message those folks and go, you know what, I can't make it this year. I want to come next year. But Matt from HFM brought this to my attention. I have already been messaging many athletes who think they might be able to make it. We're going to be highlighting some of those soon on the broadcast, on the social media. You've probably heard me talking about it. I'm going to be there. Matt Stevens, a.k.a. Rallying the Valley Dude. Everybody loved that event. Everybody's going to love this event with Matt there. Check out RockyMountainGames.ca. Go buy yourself some Resolute Coffee at ResoluteCoffeeCo.com. Huge code. Huge. Did you say huge? HFM20 for that fat discount. Let's get back to the interviews. Yeah, see, you're a professional person that's been interviewed. You're wearing headphones. You got the fucking phone turned the right way.
Yep.
So I'm glad to hear it. All right, cool. Well, listen, Allison, welcome to the program. And I know you've spoken about your athletic background with the cheer stuff a lot in previous interviews, so I don't want to start there. I want to start where I met you and how I've secretly been rooting for you all these years. Because I met you on the beach in Orlando-ish in 2015.
Yep. Was it on the beach?
Well, it wasn't. Sorry. They did one the next year in Atlanta that was on the beach. Sorry. This one.
Oh, okay.
This one was at a random, like, motocross track where a lot of obstacle racers are. And then this one was on the side. So you're in a little something we like to call the Battle Frog College Championship. Which people who follow obstacle racing heard about because Battle Frog was this big company. They came in, they were like, ooh, it's the new competitor to Spartan, and they were spending all this money, and then they sponsored a bowl game, and then they went out of business. But before they did that, they invited you and your college teammates to compete in this short course obstacle race against, I think it was 20 other colleges. So had you done any obstacle races prior to that? Like, had you done any Spartan races prior to that?
I think I actually had done a Battle Frog race, like a full length one, because I had some connections. I kind of forget who it was now, but in the, you know, Miami area, who had connections with Battle Frog. And I think I had done one for that. And I don't know, I can't remember specifically the timing, whether it was like in preparation for this college race, because I believe that was the first year they had ever done it. And there was very little information about it before we did it. Like, I remember my friend, my best friend, Steven, he was the one that I think found out about it, and kind of we put our team together and we were like, we have no idea what this is, but it sounds fun. And we're both, you know, we're all athletic and, you know, like multifaceted kind of athletics. And so we'll just give it a go.
Yeah. So I thought I had it pulled up because I couldn't find, unfortunately, I couldn't find the any clips from the first season. I could from the second season. They have the second season, they decided to make it international. I think they should have kept with colleges because I think that was kind of a way to drum up interest. But hey, let me pull this up really quickly because I think I have an old article. That's you.
There I am.
That's you battling Corinna, I think. Or maybe
I think so.
On this balance beam, you're carrying a jerry can like over the balance beam. And you stood out even then because they gave you guys just like these t-shirts and you immediately were like, F that, let's
crop
go. Let's turn it into a crop top and shades. So you clearly were like, oh, who's that girl?
Yeah, turn anything into a crop top. That's always been a life fashion motto of mine.
Did they say anything to you? Were they like, oh, we're not sure if you could do that? Or
I don't think so. I don't remember it being like a thing. It was just like, that's just what I did with what I still probably do with t-shirts.
I mean, it wasn't really ideal, I think. Like, I don't think they put much thought into it that men and women shouldn't just wear cotton t-shirts or whatever the heck they were made out of.
Yeah.
But they
what I thought was crazy, like really cool about that was it was not what we were expecting at all. So like the full length battle frog, I think was like a 5K or something similar that you would see in like a Spartan race. This was like a full on sprint, 400 meters, and each person only did 100 meters and like three obstacles. So I thought that was just so exciting and so interesting that I'd never seen anything like that before. And I thought it was really cool from at least a participant spec point. Or I don't know how that translated, you know, if it was super popular to watch or interesting to watch. But
well, I mean, so back then we had a lot of hope for obstacle racing. So I was covering the sport. That's how I got called. They were like, they actually called me. The producers called me because they'd called a friend of mine who was a sports producer, and they're like, we're trying to do something. Do you think we could do it with Spartan? And I was like, Spartan will never, like, it would be a Spartan show. So you don't want to work with Spartan. Mm-hmm. If you want to do your own thing, call these guys because they're new and I think it could work out. And it turns out it did. So I think it was on ESPN2, but that still was like a huge deal, right, for OCR. Mm-hmm. We're like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Spartan was already on NBC or NBC Sports. And then it didn't have anybody from the obstacle racing world necessarily in it, except maybe Corinna, because Corinna was...
Yeah, she was in it. I remember people talking about, like, that she was, like, an obstacle course star, you know?
Yeah, and so I've been looking for old clips, and sadly things leave the internet. So if I can find one, I'll include it, because, it was... I think the course just by itself, you could have done if it was... Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's only...
Yeah.
Was it 400 meters or less?
Yeah. They said it was 400 meters. I obviously didn't get the measuring stick.
Yeah, four of those would be a mile. I don't think it was a mile. I think it was less.
No. The whole course was 400 meters.
Right. So you're only doing 100 meters. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was over pretty quick. And it's a cool race and a cool product, I think, honestly. But after you watch a bunch of them, it's like, oh, this is kind of the same thing. I think that was kind of the disappointment. But did they let you guys, like, did you place? Did you win money?
I think that you could have won money. I think that our team, it was because it was so short and fast. If you had like one little slip up, your race was pretty much over. So I believe that we had some sort of like fall on one of our runs. We made it through a few rounds, I think maybe to like the semifinal round or something. And then we got knocked out because it was just like single elimination, just like head to head races.
So I want to go to this interview you did. So this was 7 years ago. I don't know how often you go back and look at old stuff, but I always think it's fascinating because you see yourself and sometimes you don't even recognize that person. So let me see. I think we should be able to hear this. If not, I'm going to be very upset. But hang on a second. I'm very old. Give me a second. We'll just watch like a minute of this. Hang on.
Okay. I'm kind of nervous for what you're about to pull up.
All right. Do you remember this one?
Oh, yes. I do.
All right. So let's just hit play really quickly. Tell me if you can hear it.
It's incredible. I can't imagine being anywhere else. And it's kind of interesting how I just stumbled upon that as my first CrossFit gym. And I went to school with Noah, so we kind of became friends along the process too. And just seeing him succeed and his drive to get better every day and push himself has really been inspiring. And same with Guido too. He's been a great mentor and also athletic inspiration, and just it's a really great positive environment. I think that's really key to.
There's the crop top.
Right on. Well, you finished last year in the Open 17th in the Southeast, then went on to regionals, 17th at regionals, a nice performance there. This year, you improved up to 6th in the Southeast. So what would you say your goals are heading into the Atlantic Regional?
Heading into regionals, I'm really excited for this year because, you know, last year was my first time making it. And so kind of just taking in the experience this year, I feel a lot better prepared mentally and physically. Really, I just want to go in and do my best and give each workout my best effort and kind of just see where that happens. My goal is to make it to the games and kind of just see where it goes.
All right. So what would you tell that gal if you had a chance to talk to that gal right after that interview? If the current you could go back, what would you tell her?
I mean, honestly, I think that interview aged very well. It's all of that I could say, you know, in an interview today. So I think, yeah, I just at the beginning talked a little bit about how I started CrossFit at Peak 360 and still feel very lucky to have stumbled into that gym. And those are still friendships and, you know, people that I look up to with Guido and Noah. So they're like really good friends of mine still. And
but when you heard her say those goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would you have said to her if you could be like, hey, guess what's going to happen, or you're doing fine,
we're not there yet, but keep working for another decade and we'll see what happens.
Well, it's funny because I saw Pat Vellner last year, and I asked him, because I interviewed him many, many years ago, mm-hmm. and I said, what do you think you would tell that guy? He was like, oh, you're not going to be close to retiring yet. Because he thought back then, he was like, oh, I think I'm probably going to have a few more years. And then he like started making the podium, so he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're someone who who's just kind of just made your way up as it goes. And as CrossFit, like everybody gets stronger. Everybody gets faster and they start upping, mm-hmm. you know, they start upping the workouts and upping kind of everything. So I guess the question would be now, like we're about to go into quarterfinals?
Semifinals. Which is basically regionals.
I always forget RIP regionals and RIP sanctionals. Yeah. I always forget what word comes first, quarters or semis. But so you're heading there. First of all, last year, didn't you just miss the games?
No, last year I was probably my worst semifinal placement. I got like a really bad respiratory infection right before the competition. So that made it pretty difficult to breathe. But I think my closest year was actually 2017. As far as like placement wise goes. That was like right before that interview that we just watched. But yeah, each year, you know, kind of different circumstances with different workouts and feel like I've always kind of been, you know, in the realm of that bubble athlete area of, you know, just breaking through to that next level.
So is there something specific you've worked on? You know, people always say working on your weaknesses. So obviously your overall fitness gets stronger every year. Is there anything that you did really poorly back in that first interview that you've come so far with now?
Well, I think just time in the sport. You know, when you look at CrossFit and I'm sure all sports, but like you have to be really good at so many different things. And in that interview would have been either end of 2016 or early 2017. And I had only been doing CrossFit for probably 3 or 4 years then, and really only super seriously for 2 years. Just I don't feel like there was like one specific thing. I was definitely a smaller athlete back then, and I've probably since then put on 15 to 20 pounds and a lot of strength gains as well. But yeah, just also endurance gains, more proficient at skills. Like across the board, I'm sure that I've improved everywhere. But yeah, just time in the sport, I think that, you know, people kind of progress at different levels. depending on their background and their genetic and all of their, you know, the types of training that they do. But I don't think there was like one specific thing that I was really missing, particularly that year in 2017, kind of like infamously, they decided to have no barbells at regionals that year. So they still had some weights, like heavy kettlebells, dumbbells, stuff like that. But they just got rid of the barbell that year. And so as a smaller athlete, that obviously played to my strengths of not being the strongest. But yeah, I think this past year has been the biggest intentional kind of switch in my training. I've kind of always felt like I was on that smaller end of the athletes, not quite as strong. And I just had a little bit more strength across the board, that might be something that could help me, you know, bump up to that next, you know, breakthrough to that next level of making the games. And so I really focused a lot of my attention this off season. It was pretty funny, actually. I just registered for semifinals, and it brings up your athlete profile with your weight and your height. And I got to, like, you know, add 10 pounds to my weight there. And that was like the main focus of the beginning of my off season was weightlifting technique and adding strength.
Fucking gains, bro. Let's go.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like at this point I have kind of, as an athlete, I've always prided myself on, you know, kind of being all in and really trying to turn over every stone that I possibly can as far as nutrition, recovery, training, all of that stuff. And this was like the one thing that I felt like I hadn't truly like fully committed to, of like trying to put on that extra weight. And I also felt like I didn't have anything to lose. So I'm excited to see how that pays off this season. And I also recently, this season started with two new coaches as well. So slightly different training methodologies, and I'm really excited to see how everything comes together.
Where are you training now?
I'm still training in Las Vegas. So same gym and community that I've been with, but my coaches now are remote and they're both in Canada.
So that's Julie and them, right?
Julie owns the gym. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I know Julie like 100 years, so she's super cool.
She's awesome. And John and Brent.
Do you know Lauren and Anthony? Lauren Weeks, the High Rocks champ?
No, I don't. I know of her, but I don't think we've met.
Okay, I thought they were out of that gym, and her coach is Anthony Parisini. You know, he's...
Yeah, definitely heard of other people at the gym talking about her. So we may have met in passing, but I don't believe we know each other.
So, by the way, were you penalized this last round?
I was very lucky to get a two rep penalty on the workout that many athletes got, a major penalty, which ended up ending their season. So, never been more happy for a two rep, no rep.
So, from the outside, there's the stuff that I think I see and that a lot of folks see is CrossFit fucked this up, they fucked that up, and people tend to focus on that stuff a lot. And it does seem to change quite a bit. Like they seem to not be able to kind of stick with a plan about how they're going to qualify people or what they're going to do. And I noticed something that I saw online that was, I don't blame them for being stricter, and if you got away with doing shitty reps before, then you got away with it, and now they're going to get. But what I don't understand is them putting together a quick little video that's like, "Hey, this is what this should look like. We're paying attention closely to this, this, and this." Right? Mm-hmm. Like that's their job, right? So how do you feel about all that stuff? Are you just kind of like every year, like, "Yep, they're going to do whatever they're going to do"?
Yeah, I mean, I would disagree a little bit with your sentiment. I think that yes, there are a lot of things that change.
Very nice way to say that, by the way. See, why don't people do that on the internet? I disagree with your sentiment. Not you're a fucking moron. Stop. Go ahead.
No, because I can see like why you have that perception of it. And I think as an athlete, we are so close to everything that's happening, and it's easy to like to see all of the things, right? So I'll just back up a little bit and say that, yes, sometimes CrossFit, there are certain things that they have changed year after year, kind of like the qualifying process. It was regionals, then it was sanctionals, then it was semifinals. And I think being close to the sport, you kind of see a little bit why that's happening. So it's kind of understandable. But at the same time, this specific thing with like the big penalty this year, I thought a lot about it, and I feel like it was kind of like the perfect storm of coincidences that led us to this point, right? So what the review process that they did this year was not, you know, so different than anything that they've done in the past. It is probably exactly the same as what they've done in the past. The reason that it made it different this year was, so they typically will choose from an online competition, especially quarterfinals. They used to do this in the Open too, is they'll pick one specific workout after the fact and be like, okay, this is the one that we're like diving in on. We're going to watch every single rep. We're going to like judge, you know, the standards of every rep and dock people if they're not meeting the standard. So that's something that they've always done. But this specific workout was different because the workout that they chose, the movement, there was a movement in there, the box step up, that's a little bit kind of in the gray area, right? Like people are moving really fast in this workout. And, you know, the difference between like fully like extended shoulders over the hips, knees both locked out at the same time, versus like a little bit of a soft knee or like shoulders slightly forward, is very like, it's very, there's a gray area, right? Like you can pretty much do all of the work, but your rep might not look like textbook, you know, fully extended. So that was, you know, circumstance number one. Number two was that this workout was very close in the scoring from the very top to like, you know, even people that weren't making it to semifinals. Making a major penalty, like something like 20%, really massive. Punishing, really punishing. So if you go back a couple of years, they had a kind of a similar thing where they were zeroing in on pistols. And it's kind of a similar movement, right? Like you're moving fast, like you might not be standing up all the way. But that workout also had GHDs, a lot of muscle ups. And so athletes, a lot of athletes weren't even finishing that workout. But the top athletes were finishing the workout and getting a time score. So for example, if I finished in 10 minutes, got a 20% penalty, that gives me 12 minutes, which is still a pretty good time and still beating a lot of people. So that was like perfect storm number two, was that a major penalty on this was basically a death sentence. Three was that there was only four workouts this year, which made each workout that much more important and a bigger percentage of your score. And lastly, they took less athletes to semifinals
this
year.
Did you prepare this statement? I feel like this is a very well thought out argument you're making.
I've just been thinking about it a lot. I obviously didn't know that we were going to talk about it, but I've been thinking about it a lot in the past week and talking to other people.
Yeah. Can we zero in on one part?
Yep.
The second thing you – let's talk about your second part first. I've always wanted to say that. You've done all the work. You said you've done all the work without whatever the rest of the phrase was. So I think the part that I'm thinking about is like if your head is pointed down, because guess what? How else do you get up and off a box but look down? So if the key phrase is you're doing all the work, then isn't that the point they should be looking at?
Yeah, but then where do you have to draw the line somewhere? Because it's like if they're really bad reps, then
you're not doing the work. If you lock out, right? As much as you're like without it being like a slow motion lockout, right? But like a pretty good, like I get that. And again, remember, I'm an outsider, right? I've come from OCR and now this Hyrox hybrid stuff. But I'm learning a little bit, right? I know just enough. I understand the goal is get as close as I can, right? And your judge gives you what you give you. And so those pros at the tippy top in the games are going to wait till they're no repped before they fucking, you know, change, right? I get that. But for something like this, then your job is to lock out. Again, like you're not going to stop. Your body isn't going to stop completely because that would defeat the purpose, like of moving fast. But if you've, the difference between the head over versus your neck over, like that's not the work. That's what I'm talking about. Versus your actual not even standing up all the way. To me, not standing up all the way is not the lockout. Is not the work.
I think that the internet went a little bit crazy with the neck thing. I don't think that's what they were looking at. I think, and I know this is a podcast, so people might not be able to see it.
I will air this also on video just for this and to show your old Battle Frog stuff.
Yeah. So the difference with the neck thing is that when your neck is not
in front of you. You feel like you're standing up all the way, but my shoulders are clearly not locked out. Right. So when I look up, boom, my shoulders are now over my hips. So it's not that the neck was the issue. It was that people who were having their head forward weren't actually locking out at the hips and the shoulders.
So if you're honest with yourself, if you go back and look at yours, do you think like, phew, I dodged a bullet? Or are you like, I'm very confident in those reps minus the two I got no ripped on?
I'm very confident in my reps. Yeah, I'm very confident in my reps. Like,
so you would send it to Hiller and not be scared?
Yeah. I trust the games team too. Like, no, they looked at it. They were like, okay, there was a couple that were like, and like I said, your people are switching knees. And so like, you might be locked out at your hips, but then one of your legs is bent. And so it's just like the what they were looking for was knee and hip extension.
So some people say, well, the solution is simple enough. It could be as simple as we'll just make it a step over instead of a step up.
Yeah, it's possible, but a step over has a different stimulus than a step up. So maybe that's not the type of stimulus they wanted.
I mean, obviously anything online, which is the best we're going to do, right, is going to always have issues. And so it's just a matter of, like you said, where the line gets drawn. Again, I do think,
for sure.
So I personally have this beef, which nobody has besides me, apparently, inside or outside of the CrossFit community, which is Dave has this video series called Let's Talk About What
Castro.
Happened. Yeah, Let's Talk About What Happened during the week. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I think if you're a mass participation event, right, and he works, it's one thing when he had left and he wasn't part of it. Now he is part of that company. And rather than him or Don or someone on the front end go, this is what we're looking for, he comes on afterwards and talks about it. And so now if I don't follow him personally, I don't know the best information out there. Like, to me, that's
silly. But they have the standards out before the workouts. Like, that's the whole point. It's like, this is what a good rep is.
No, but they have like an original one though, not like per workout, right? Like there wasn't.
Yes,
there
but wasn't, it's the standard is the same for any box step up in any workout.
Right, but I think that putting it out for this event, right, or for any quarterfinal event that goes, here's these workouts, here's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
By the way, we have this massive rule book where everything is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's fine. We're going to continue to disagree.
Wait, I don't understand your point though.
Like if they had spent the time on the front end, right, saying, here's how a step up needs to look. We're going to pay really close attention to this. Here's how it needs to look.
They do that.
They did that for this workout.
Yes. Yeah. Every workout that comes out, there's a PDF and it's like, this is the flow of the workout. This is the standards, very specific.
Is there a video on that workout? Is there a video or is it just...
No, it's just a PDF. Like, but what would be different between a PDF and a video?
A reel, I think, makes it really, really clear when you say to
a what
someone, a reel, like an Instagram reel.
Okay, so you're saying that you think instead of a PDF, they need both to make a video.
I think both, because again, it's, you're not talking about 1,000. You're talking about there were 4 workouts. Why not bother to do that? And then everybody knows, everybody who didn't make the regionals that wants to do it right. Like everybody just like, hey, here's what this looks like.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's what we'd like to see the camera, right? Like that's another one that I don't understand how they missed that.
That actually is in the rule book too, but.
do people not pay attention to it?
Yeah. That's the problem is people don't read and then I get mad at other people for not reading.
No, I know that for sure.
And so, but I will say that like, the reason why they're not like, oh, this is the workout we're going to zero in on is because then people will just go haywire on the workouts that they know they're not going to zero in on. And so that's why they keep that part secret until the end of the competition.
I guess I meant just making that part of the language, just like doing this and like, here's, you know what I'm saying? Like instead of it just being a PDF, which again, people don't read.
I mean, that's their responsibility though. If workout comes out, you have to understand what you have to do. Like that just, I think that's just irresponsible. If you're just like, oh, I think I know what I need to do when they've actually taken the time to write out exactly what you need to do.
I like the idea of idiot proof. That's all.
I would say that it is idiot proof.
because you're someone that reads and follows directions.
Yeah.
Some people are really bad at that.
Personal accountability. Like if you're professional in this sport and you're trying to advance to the next level, you should be able to read a 2-page PDF.
I don't disagree with you that I don't disagree with you. And not everybody that makes quarterfinals is a professional athlete, right? So I mean that's a bit of a jump to say if you're a professional athlete because they're not a professional athlete. I just like put again, I know from in even trail racing or any kind of racing, like your people don't read shit. So it's like if you really want them to know something, you got to put it out like twice or in really big letters. Like if you just put in the bottom of the email, by the way, don't park here. No, everyone would park there. And then just you could be mad when they show up and say, well, we told you not to park here. Or you put a big fucking notice out that's like, hey, by the way, this year you've always parked here. You can't park here. Does that analogy work at all?
I think, yeah, I get what you're trying to say. I think the difference is that for as long as I've done CrossFit, for the open or any online qualifier, the process is exactly the same. They release the workouts and then they're like, go look at the official standards because there's a lot of details in there. If they were to release a 15-second reel and people watch that and think like, oh, I got it all. It's like they couldn't possibly put all the details in that video. So even if they do make it quote unquote idiot proof, like there's still going to be stuff that they glaze over. And maybe if they just watched a 15-second video, they think that they got it all, but then they miss something. So it's like, no, go read this document. It has everything you need. And the movement standards, more or less, there have been, you know, some scenarios where they change the standard on things, but more or less from year to year, the standards are the same. And especially on a box step up, it's like everyone knows you got to stand all the way up on the top of the box. Like it's pretty straightforward.
All right.
But I think that the reason why it caused such a ruckus this year was not because of the standard. It was because of that perfect storm that I was kind of talking about.
I think that explained it. I think that explained it quite well.
And it wasn't just like one of those things. It was the combination of like, how big the penalty was, what type of workout it was, how close the scores were, how close the competitiveness across the board was. So, and I will make another point that I think is kind of like, because I'm not saying that CrossFit was like totally right or, you know, the athletes who did get penalized, it's their fault. I think it's complicated and there's a lot of nuance. And I think something else that I didn't really mention was like, the major penalty that they applied to most of those scores was just like a blanket 20%. So basically, and this, it has it in the, like, this is how they've always done it is like, once you reach a certain amount of no reps, they just give you a blanket penalty. Right. But in this workout specifically, it's just an AMRAP. So I felt like they could have just reduced every rep that was a no rep in this workout specifically. Obviously that doesn't work for every type of workout. Like if it's for time workout, you can't just like subtract, you know, reps from that. But I think that was like another part of this perfect storm was like, I don't know what their minimum number was, but say it was 10 box step ups. Once you had 10 no reps, then they just gave you a 20% penalty. Well, 20% on 200 reps is 40 reps. So that's kind of like a miss there as well.
All right. So we can move on from that one. But thank you for having this intellectual discussion with me. So
yeah, it was fun.
Where will your, what's it called? Quarterfinal be?
Semifinals. It will be in Carson, California. Which is fun fact, where they used to hold the CrossFit Games before 2017.
Right. It used to be called the Home Depot Center, and now it's what's it called now?
Was it StubHub for a little bit too, or is that somewhere else? It's the Dignity Health Tennis Stadium.
And that is when? How many weeks do we have?
We have what is today? The second.
The second. Of
one, May. Two, 3 weeks from today. I'll be registering at semifinals.
And then,
that's the 23rd of May.
how much do you pay attention to who else is going?
I think that I'm aware of who else is going, but I think ultimately, like, it's easy to be like, oh, I placed here in quarterfinals and the Open, but the workouts are completely different. It's also a totally different beast competing in person. There can be injuries, there can be illnesses, there can be mindset things that all come into play at an in-person competition. And yeah, the number of workouts is different. Usually they usually have 6 workouts versus 4. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. And I just try to view it as like, it's a clean slate and I'm excited to see what kind of workouts they bring to us.
So nobody like, oh man, this, like, I know I have a very tough draw this year. Or I know I have to beat this many really, really good girls, or.
Yeah. I mean, at every semifinal, there's really good women competing and the competition is really tough. They also do like what's called a strength of field. So once, it should be coming out soon, but they delegate how many game spots each semifinal gets based on the caliber of the athletes that are showing up. So really competitive regions are going to get more game spots and less competitive regions are going to get less. So yeah, there's good competitors at each one, but you kind of just trust that there's enough for all the good people and you just show up and do your best.
Well, now that I'm talking about it, we got to go have a peek. We can sort by region, right?
On the leaderboard,
North,
yeah.
North America West?
Yep. I placed 17th in the quarterfinals, if that's what you're looking for.
I want to see who else is going, right? Because it's the top, it's the top how many?
40.
Top 40. That's a lot.
It was 60 last year. So
yeah. So that's another question. What do you think about jumping that many people from the Open to 25, from 10% to 25%? Because if the goal is to get the right people in the semis, it seems like is that really going to make a difference, or does that just make your job harder with all that, looking at all those reps and stuff?
They're not looking at all those reps.
No, I know, but I'm saying just makes a bigger field, which just, I mean, do they want somebody else $20 that bad, do you think? Or why do you think they do that? Because people know, like, I made it past, I did the Open, I'm in the top 25%, but I know I'm not going to get close in the quarter.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you could have argued that with 10% too. Like, they really probably only need to take the top 1%, the people that have like an actual shot at making it to semifinals. But I think that having more competition opportunities for people that aren't going to advance to semifinals is something really good for the community. I saw a lot of people this year who didn't make quarterfinals last year, but were in that 25%. And it was just cool to see them like participating, part of the community, having that like little like extra, you know, pressure to do the quarterfinals. They're a little bit harder workouts, a little bit, you know, like more condensed. It's all in 1 week that you have to do it. And so it provides an opportunity to a lot of athletes that, you know, it's not their full-time thing, but they have that. I think having goals and stuff like that is a great opportunity for people. So I don't see why. I think it's a positive all around.
Cool. So it looks like Alex Gazan was first in your region. So yep. I saw photos of you and her at that mud run in Hawaii. What was that about? I saw a bunch of CrossFitters there.
Yeah, me and Alex, we train together and we both live in Vegas and we're at the same gym. She's an amazing athlete and one of my really good friends. And we went out to Kauai this past fall, and every year they do the Ultimate Hawaiian Trail Run. Which is like kind of like a charity run that they do every year to support the local communities and help kids. They have a lot of amazing CrossFit fitness and health programs out there to help the kids, you know, have healthy extracurricular activities to do versus, you know, like unhealthy, you know, drugs and alcohol kind of stuff. So it's amazing what they're doing for the communities out there. And they have this epic mud trail run. I believe it was a 10K this year, maybe a little bit longer than that. And just like straight up in the jungle. And then at the end, they have like big mud pits that you can slide through. So we went out there to support that.
But was there just like a big CrossFit, like there was a ton of CrossFitters there, it looked like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's basically to fund their CrossFit programming in Kauai. And so, yeah, a lot of the CrossFit community gets involved with that.
So with this many weeks to go, I lost my train of thought. I was asking you with how many weeks to go. As soon as you, like, you're obviously looking at the leaderboard along the way, but then this year it was like, okay, I better, like, we couldn't, you had to wait because of all the craziness going on. So once that happens, you're like, okay, leaderboard's finalized, I'm in. Like, how are you on the phone with your coaches? Like, I don't know, 5 minutes later, an hour later, like, okay, here's what we're going to do to dial in.
Well, I think you make the assumption when you finish quarterfinals that you're going to the next level because, you know, why wait? Obviously, if you don't make it, it's disappointing and your season's over. But I think, you know, I had a pretty good idea that I would be in there and, you know, didn't get a penalty. So I think you just have to start preparing right away. So, and that's, I mean, even backing up further, I think you kind of know as an athlete, and especially for how many seasons I've been doing it, like, I know for myself, I need to be at my absolute best peak shape at semifinals because I'm going to get through the open, probably going to, you know, quarters, you have to be a little bit more, you know, dialed in and, you know, not take anything for granted and, you know, do what you got to do there. But like, I need to be at my absolute best at semifinals. And some athletes are, you know, they need to be their absolute best at the games. And so there's like different, you kind of go through these like little mini peaks throughout the season, but knowing yourself as an athlete and where you need to be your best, that kind of planning starts months in advance. So yeah, we've kind of had a plan to totally peak at semifinals and, yeah, that's kind of just the plan we're on. Cause it's not realistic, you know, to be like at your absolute best, like month after month. You kind of need time to ramp up, time to deload, time to taper and add in different aspects of the sport as well. Yeah.
Could you describe, if I asked you, what it would mean to make the games?
What it would mean. I think it would mean that it would just be like a kind of a gift almost to, for all of the, you know, years of work that I've put in and like the dedication and the discipline and just kind of like an external validation of that as well. I think something that I've had to really learn as an athlete is that, you know, my value isn't based on those types of outcomes. And I, no matter what outcomes I reach, I know the work that I've put in and I'm extremely proud of, you know, everything that I've done in the last 10 years in this sport, but it would just be kind of like that extra little cherry on top and, you know, that little plaque that I could have, externally to show for that as well.
And if you're peaking now, then if we get into the games, it's just gravy. Just like, woohoo. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And luckily there's a little bit more time between semis and games. Like, whereas like quarters was only 4 weeks before semis. And yeah, I would obviously try to show up the best that athlete that I can be at the games. But like I was saying, like there's certain athletes that are, you know, they have to take semis seriously, like the Alex Gazans, you know, she has to take semi seriously, but she knows she's going to make it. Like, she doesn't have to be like at her absolute best. Like, she's going after like a podium spot at the game. So she needs to be like at her best at the games. And so that's just the difference of like peaking at different, you know, times in the season, essentially.
Right. All right. Well, listen, I'm glad we got to catch up. It was nice to see you. Would you like to shout out anybody or sponsors or anyone we didn't talk about?
Yeah, shout out if you would like to support my trip to my ninth semifinals. I did create like a little merch line. You can check it out on my Instagram. Two t-shirts that I designed. One of them, you know, has my name for like my family and my close friends and stuff. But the other one is just kind of like, on the back of it, it says, I want to see what happens if I don't give up. And so I think that shirt, is something that I've really resonated with for a while now. And that also like speaks to other people. And so all of those proceeds go to my trip to semifinals. And, yeah, I appreciate any support and love, and thank you for having me on here. And I also love just chatting with people in my DMs. So definitely check me out on Instagram, and feel free to send me a message if you have any questions, or if you want to debate about the penalties this year.
Do you offer any coaching?
I don't do coaching right now. I started CrossFit coaching, but just in the last few years have kind of like zeroed in all of my efforts towards competing. But I do have a passion for coaching, and right time and place might do something else.
Yeah, you also, I noticed you have one of those Amazon things, and that stuff works. You can make some decent money through Amazon.
Yeah. I don't put too much effort into that. Those are just kind of like the things that people have asked me about using. And
right. But as you know, as someone out there in the world who doesn't do the 9-to-5 thing, it's like everything helps. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everything helps. I found some old things. I was like some old affiliate link, and I was making let's say $40 a month with it. And then it just went away because I stopped paying attention. But it's like, you know what? When $40 comes in every month, that's a tank of gas. That's something. Especially if it's for work you've already done. If it's just links you've got. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Anyhow. So, yes, if you love the sport and you want to support athletes, you can do that with your own pocketbook and buy a cool shirt and help out an athlete because she's a good person.
Yeah. Thank you.
And there you have it. If you're wondering why there was no ad reads at the beginning, it's because I snuck them in the middle. Hope you enjoyed both of those interviews. Quick note, I will be in Anaheim for the LCQ. We're working on a live stream. I will 100% be there. I will 100% be filming it. And then it's just a matter of getting the commentating team together, probably Ian K and Anthony. So be on the lookout for that. Everyone's going to say, where's the feed? We will get it to you, my friend. We'll get those links to you as soon as we can. Hope you have a great rest of the week and weekend, everybody. No race for me this weekend. Love ya. Miss ya. Mean it. I've got to run.